I remember back when I was a kid, and you guys probably feel the same way, but I remember the night before Christmas, I mean, it was always a time for me. We always had a lot of family that would come. We had cousins and aunts and uncles. I mean, our house was always filled with people. And there was so much excitement. I mean, I remember we couldn't even sleep at night because I couldn't wait to get up and see what all those presents were. It was that anticipation for what the next morning was going to bring. And every year, it was that same building sense of anticipation. And I was thinking about it, and really, that's the same kind of anticipation that the world had for Jesus Christ. I mean, for generations and generations before Christ came as a child, the world was anticipating his coming, was anticipating his arrival, and it's still true today. I mean, even today, the earth is already still groaning for his return once again. And that's the kind of anticipation that we should have. I mean, it's great. I love the anticipation of Christmas. And I love remembering what it was like when I was a kid to anticipate Christmas Eve. But we should always have that same kind of anticipation for the return of Jesus Christ and for the coming of him. I want to talk tonight because we were, on Sunday, I was talking about the Magi and the Magi coming to Bethlehem and just following the Star of Bethlehem. And I want to talk tonight about the gifts that the Magi did bring, because Christmas is a time that has evolved into becoming a time of giving and sharing gifts. So the Magi, when they came, they gave gifts. They brought gifts for Jesus Christ that were gifts that were representative of who Jesus Christ was going to be, who he was, and who he was going to be. But the great thing is, when we look at those gifts that the Magi brought to Jesus, it's not just gifts of who he was going to be, but even today, these are still reflective gifts. They still are representative gifts because they represent what you and I are in Jesus Christ. So I love looking at those three gifts that it talks about that the Magi brought to Jesus Christ. Let me just get some context and let's read from that story in Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. And this is the story that leads up to the giving of the gifts from the Magi and their arrival. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, here's one of the first things when we look at this. One of the things that always strikes me is we never really notice the fact that where was it that the Magi went to find the child? I mean, we always picture it as being that they went to the manger. But it doesn't say they went to the manger. It says that they came and they went to the house. In verse number 11, I think it is. Let me read that again. And when they had come into the house, they didn't come to the manger. They came to the house. They came to where Mary and Joseph were living. They came to Bethlehem. We always think of the story as all taking place in one night with the shepherds coming and then the Magi coming as well. It didn't all happen in one night. And we see that the Magi actually went to Nazareth, not to Bethlehem. Now, most scholars will tell you that they believe that there was a pretty long period of time from the birth of Jesus until the visit of the Magi. In fact, if you look at it in Luke and you draw some conclusions from the things that are taking place with Mary, it could be up to 2 years from the time of the birth of Christ until the Magi actually arrived to come and to bring these gifts and to bring these presents. And you also look when you see in this verse, it also identifies him in verse number 11. It says they saw the young child. It's not the infant Jesus that they saw. They see the young child, Jesus Christ. So the Magi came not to Bethlehem, but to Nazareth. Now we saw as we started that whole section of the story that it said that King Herod had said to the Magi to go to Bethlehem. He instructed them to go to Bethlehem and to find. Well, as far as King Herod knew, he knew from the prophecies that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. So he sends them to Bethlehem, not knowing that at that point Jesus had already been born, already had gone back with his parents back to Nazareth. And that's one of the things that we miss and one of the things that is really important. So the Magi didn't go to Bethlehem, but they were guided by the star. They were guided by the Holy Spirit to the place where Christ was as a young child in the city of Nazareth. So they arrive in Nazareth, and it says that upon arriving in Nazareth, did I say it right? I would say, what do I always wind up saying? Nazareth. I don't know why. If you hear me say Nazareth, just fill in the blanks and say it correctly in your own minds. So they came to Nazareth, and God, stop and think about it. They came to Nazareth, and it says that they fell down, and did I say it wrong that time? What is it? Okay, if you hear me say it wrong, you just fill me in, okay? Listen carefully, because I say it wrong about 3 times out of 4. So it says that they came, and they fell down, and they worshiped Jesus Christ. It's interesting to note that these aren't Jews. I mean, these magi that came to Jesus, they're not Jews, they're Gentiles. These are the ones that God afforded the opportunity and allowed to be the ones to bring these gifts to Jesus Christ, these gifts that reflected who Christ was and who he would be. And as we'll see tonight, also it reflects the gifts that represent who we are today in Jesus Christ. So they came, they offered the gifts, but they offered the gifts not as kings would offer gifts to a king. Because a king would offer to another king honor as a king to a king. What they did is they came with hearts of worship. They came with hearts of humility. They came and they offered to Jesus Christ, the baby or the child, small child Jesus. They came and they offered sacrifices of praise and sacrifices of worship, saying and identifying that this is the King of Kings. Now the Jewish King Herod, he's not worshiping Jesus at all. He's not worshiping Messiah at all. In fact, if you look in the story that we just read, look at the reaction of the compromising priests of the time and of the Jews themselves. Because they weren't offering joy. In fact, it says that they were troubled. If you go all the way back, even before where I read, if you go back to Matthew chapter 2, verse number 3, this is what it says about Herod, about the priests, about the people, the Jews themselves. It says in verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all of Jerusalem with him. The very ones that Jesus Christ had come for were troubled by his presence. It was the Magi. It was the Gentile world that actually received him with joy, with anticipation, with thanksgiving, and with knowledge and understanding of who he was. And that's why they were the ones that were allowed to bring these gifts that honored who Jesus Christ is, was, and honors who we are in Jesus Christ today. So let's look at the gifts. The gifts that they brought, we're all familiar with, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When our Savior was born, the one who was to become the perfect sacrifice and would give himself as an offering for all men, this is the one that when he came, these were the gifts that were brought to him. These are the same gifts that represent the honor to Jesus Christ. The honor to Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And these are the gifts that express, again, who Jesus Christ is and who he was. So let's look at the first one, gold. Gold is a gift that represents the kingness, the royalty of who Jesus Christ was. Gold is a gift that is representative of a king. Gold is a gift that represented his office as the king. Gold is a gift that is fit for a king and proper for a king to receive. It represents that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And that's what the Magi came with, that understanding, with that praise and worship for the King of Kings. It also says, when you look at it, it says that they opened up their treasures. Now, I've heard a lot of people give a lot of speculation as to how much value there was to this gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some of the estimates I've seen are like astronomical, and I don't know how they come up with that. But it says that there were treasures. So this is not a small amount of gold that they're bringing. If these are treasures, they're bringing enough gold to more than supply. But this is just showing, I mean, it's a principle that God has for us. Even at the birth of Jesus Christ, God had already provided for Joseph and Mary the means to provide for the raising of his own son. God provides for us. It's a reminder that God provides for us all the time. Even before we see it, his provision is already prepared. You know, for those of you that know the radio station, Yes FM, we had our share-a-thon back in November. And it was the worst share-a-thon we've ever had. I mean, when we finished the days of share-a-thon, I think we were at like maybe 35% of our goal. And it's like, you know, our goal is $95,000. And that's like, we have to have $95,000 to continue operating until the next share-a-thon. So we were at like 35% when the whole thing was done. And some of the people, not staff. Staff has learned. They just know to trust God, that he always takes care of things. But that's the point. God provides things even before we can even see it, even before we can see that's done. And so we've had some spots on. We've done about 2 months have come and gone. I got a phone call. Now, Don and I, our plans were after church on Sunday, this past Sunday. We were supposed to go to Cleveland to be with my mom, see my brother and his wife, and my sister, who I haven't seen in years because she lives in Washington. So they're all going to be in Cleveland. We were supposed to go after church on Sunday and head to Cleveland to see all of them. On Saturday, we got a phone call from some friends of ours in Chicago. And these are friends that went with us to Israel. I've known them in ministry for probably 25 years. And he was in the intensive care. And she was just like beside herself with panic. So Don and I talked about it, and we thought, you know what, our place is to be there with them. They don't have a lot of family, and we are probably as much family to them as anybody else. So I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I'm sorry. And my mom was great. She understood. So the last 2 days, I don't know how many days has it even been. It's kind of a blur. Whatever today is, have just been, you know, time spent basically in a hospital, between a waiting room and the ICU room. And at one point yesterday morning, I mean, it looked really, really bad for Jerry. He was going into convulsions. They couldn't stop the bleeding that he had. He was delirious. He didn't even recognize his wife. I mean, it just was a really bad, bad situation. But just how faithful God is and how good God is. And before that day was over, when we left him, last time we saw him was last night. And when we left him, he looked like Jerry again. You know, they had found the problem. They stopped the bleeding. I mean, they were like mystified. They spent 3 days and couldn't find anything. Found the problem, fixed the problem. Jerry seems like himself again. So he came home feeling really good about all that, and thank you, Jesus, for that. And I'm not saying that this is why God did this, but I just think the timing is just so awesome. Yesterday, while we were in Chicago, after having given up all of our plans and our time, I got a phone call from Jeff at the radio station. He said, there's a guy you need to call. He said, just call him. So I called him, and this guy said, hey, I got $25,000. I want to give it to YesFM. Would that be okay? When can I pick up the check? I mean, so God, my point is, this is who God is. I mean, what we see from what he did with Jesus Christ, before they even knew what their need was, he'd already provided. And the same thing is true for us. Whatever, and I'm just talking finances. I mean, whatever our needs are in life. Even before we see that we even fully have the need, he has already made the preparations for us. He has already prepared for us to meet the need. So gold. Gold is representing that Jesus Christ was the King of Kings. The next gift is frankincense. Frankincense represents the divinity of Jesus Christ. Frankincense it's a resin that comes from a tree. And frankincense is burned as incense along with the offerings that were given at the temple. So it was an important part of temple worship. And frankincense represents that offering of the prayers of the people. Because as they would pray, they'd put the frankincense on the offering. As that smoke would go up, it represented the prayers of the people. And they'd be waiting outside as the priest would be in there. High priest would be in there offering up those prayers. So it represents the prayers of the people, but it represents the prayers of the people being received and being accepted by the Lord. You and I are accepted. We are received and accepted by the Lord because of Jesus Christ. So this is what frankincense represents. And frankincense was a valuable commodity in the time of Jesus Christ. It was rare, and it was valued, and it was expensive. Because it took a long time to harvest frankincense and to process. It would take up to 2 or 3 months of processing to make it a final product that could be used. So frankincense represents that prayer being lifted up. But it also represents that Jesus Christ, the gift that he gave of his sacrifice, was of greater value than anything we could possibly imagine. I mean, it was the gift of his own sacrifice of his own blood for you and I. The other thing that frankincense represents is the office of high priest. Jesus Christ is our high priest. And frankincense represents that office of the high priest, that Jesus Christ was the intercessor for you and I. He's the eternal intercessor between God and man. He's the high priest. He's the high priest in the same way that in the Old Testament, in that old covenant that we had, those priests offered sacrifices for the people. This is the sacrifice. Jesus offered himself for you and I. So that's frankincense. Myrrh. Myrrh is the last one. Myrrh represents the humanity of Jesus Christ. Myrrh is another one of those products that's a resin, but it's a highly valuable product also. So myrrh represents that humanity of Jesus Christ. It represents that link to the flesh because Jesus was God become flesh. Again, he's that intercessor between God and man. It's that reminder to us at all times that even in these carnal bodies that we live in, even in these carnal bodies, we are still linked to Jesus Christ. We're still linked to him and to his righteousness, to his perfection. In him, we are perfect, and the promises that he has are the promises that are for you and I. Myrrh is also representative of the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. Myrrh actually means bitter. So it's talking about the bitterness of the suffering and the death that Jesus Christ had for you and I. So myrrh represents that bitterness. Myrrh also was used for embalming those who were dead. It's that, again, symbol of Jesus Christ dying and giving himself for you and I. And in fact, we can even see this in the book of John. In John chapter 19, verse number 39, this is talking about Jesus Christ at his death. And look what Nicodemus does. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds worth. So again, all of this, myrrh shows that link between God and flesh, that link that makes Jesus Christ the humanity that you and I are. There's one last thing about myrrh. Myrrh could also be created in a liquid form. And in a liquid form, it would be processed and it would be used as that oil, that holy oil that would anoint the priests and would anoint all the articles of the tabernacle as well. So Jesus Christ, even at his birth, God provided in Jesus Christ, God had provided that anointing for that child to be the Passover lamb, the perfect sacrifice for you and I. So these are the significant things about these three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So gold represents the fact that Jesus is the King of Kings. Frankincense represents that Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, myrrh represents that Jesus Christ is the King who became flesh. So gold represents he's the King. Myrrh represents he's the King that became flesh as the perfect sacrifice for mankind. And then frankincense represents that Jesus Christ is the King who became flesh and was offered for you and I as an offering for all eternity. Again, being that intercessor for all eternity between God and man. In that sacrifice that he made, he also made all of those who would believe. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, by that sacrifice, he also makes us to be kings and priests. So we look at those gifts that were offered to Jesus Christ, and we see the significance of what they represented in who Christ was and who he would be. But we also see that Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifice, has made us to be kings and priests as well. So these gifts have relevance to us. In the book of Revelation, it says, and has made us, talking about Jesus Christ, and has made us kings and priests in his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are in Christ kings and priests. And all those things that those gifts represent, represent truth for you and I as well. So Jesus is working through you and I every day, daily. He's working through you and I as kings and as priests. And if we offer ourselves as gifts, our lives as gifts to Jesus, as the Magi gave gifts, if we offer ourselves, then Jesus is refining us daily. He's refining you to make you the perfect gift of who you are to him. He's refining us. He's refining you and I. He's refining us to be high priests. In the same way that that frankincense represented his office as the high priest, Jesus is daily, if we allow him and we give ourselves, he's daily refining us as high priest. Frankincense, which represented that, was a sweet product. The time, the prayers, the communion, the time that we have with him, the time that we make tomorrow for him, it is sweet to him. It's sweet. It's our offering, our sacrifice, our living sacrifice for him. He's also refining us to be kings in him, to be made as kings. Gold represented that office of king. Kings are the ones that have all of the power and all of the authority. They have unquestioned power and authority. In Jesus Christ, we are kings. We have total authority and power of Jesus Christ. And when we operate in that every day and we use those gifts, that authority and that power, when we use those things, we honor Christ. We honor the gift that He's given us. And then the last thing is, we are anointed. Anointed in Jesus, as with myrrh. This is what myrrh is. Myrrh, again, was that evidence of that the flesh, the Jesus becoming flesh, becoming just like us, becoming a man so He could be that perfect sacrifice. And that anointing represents the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us. The power of the Holy Spirit that walks through you and I, works through you and I as believers in all the things that we say and that we do every single day. So these are the gifts that the Magi brought. And when we think about those gifts and we see that imagery of the three kings, and we don't know how many there were, but those three Magi who came, when we see those gifts that were offered, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, it reminds us of who Jesus Christ was, but it's also a reminder to you and I as to who we are in Jesus Christ. And it should be a reminder every day that our lives are a gift that we can give back to Him. It's the reminder of what Jesus Christ has done, and it's a reminder of the significance of the gifts of the Magi. It's the gifts that still work through you and I today. Jesus, we thank You and praise You for who You are, for what You've done. And I thank You that even in the humbleness of my ability to explain these things, I just thank You, Holy Spirit, that those verses that we read, the word that we looked at, I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You bring it back to our remembrance. And even because the word never returns void, even the young ones that are here, and just the fact that the word was heard, that it's in even the littlest ones, it's in their hearts, and it's in their very souls because they have ears to hear and they heard. And I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You just let that be a seed that grows from the smallest to the oldest of us, that we can just have that revelation and truly honor You this Christmas Eve and tomorrow for coming and becoming flesh. You be glorified through our lives, through the things that we do, and through our hearts. We praise You and thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen.